There's an old Western song sung by Gene Autry, and it's called Back in the Saddle Again. And it's talking about this cowboy who hadn't been on his horse in some time, and he felt at home when he got back in the saddle. Well, I'm back in the saddle, back in the pulpit, and of course it sort of feels at home again, having been out now for around 6 or 7 weeks due to a convalescence period. Good to have you present, and this will give me an opportunity to tell you how much I appreciate all that you've done for me. And of course, the cards and the letters and the fruit baskets and all that I've received, for which I am humbly grateful. But most of all, I want to tell you that I'm grateful for your prayers, which you prayed for me. And of course, I know you did, because you told me you were praying, and I believe in prayer very strongly. And so I appreciate that. And also, it'll give me an opportunity to express appreciation to all these good brethren who have filled in and done such a magnificent job from the pulpit and teaching classes and doing other things while I was absent. I appreciate them very much. And I won't try to call all the names of the ones who have filled in. It's been several, but I do appreciate your work in the proclamation of the glorious gospel of the Son of God. I want to talk to you for a little while today about Felix the Governor. Before my operation, I had dealt a series of lessons. And in this series of lessons, I had told you about the conversion of a lot of people, how that they had received the gospel and been saved. I told you about the Pentecostans, you know, and they were receptive to the gospel. I told you about man who had come from Ethiopia. He was Secretary of the Treasury of Queen Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians, and how that he'd come all the way to Jerusalem to worship, and he was reading in his Bible, and this preacher Philip was invited up into the chariot with him and preached unto Jesus, and he obeyed the gospel. He was receptive. He was receptive. Then I told you about that great man, that captain in the Roman army by the name of Cornelius, who was a very good moral man, and how that he sent for Peter, and Peter preached to him the gospel, and how that he accepted it. And then I told you about that charming woman, Lydia, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, and how that she heard the gospel and readily accepted it. Now, the thing that impressed me about all of these conversions is that these people, all of them, were willing to accept the gospel. And so the question came up in my mind, in the Bible, do we have every person obeying the gospel because they hear it? And the answer is no. I want to study about a non-conversion today. Felix heard the same gospel that all these other people heard. God was interested in his salvation, but he turned it down. And we need to let people know that not all people are going to accept the gospel. Some of them are, and some of them are not. And we have a case in point, and I want to talk about Felix for a little while, and maybe we can figure out why he turned it down, maybe not totally, but partially. You know, Felix was a young man. He was a household slave of Agrippina, who was the mother of Claudius Caesar, the reigning Caesar at that time. He was a slave. But that isn't unusual. Did you know that during the Roman government, half of the people were slaves? That's right. About half of the people were slaves during the reigning of the Caesar. You either had a high position or you were nothing. You were down here in slavery. And this young man was a slave, and as I said, of the mother of Claudius Caesar. He's about 19, 20 years old. And Claudius Caesar took a liking to him. He liked this boy. And he decided to give him a high position of governor of Judea, which was rather unique in that he was a heathen and knew nothing about the Jewish people, and yet the Jewish people were located in Judea, the very country that he'd be governor of. But when Claudius Caesar sent him down there as governor, he was thrilled with it. And he did some good things as a governor. Josephus, the Jewish historian, says that he drove a band of robbers out of the hills of Judea and incarcerated them. And the people applauded him for it. They thought, well, he's a good governor. Look what he's done. Well, Felix hadn't been governor very long until he met a young woman by the name of Drusilla, who was a beautiful woman, according to historians. Drusilla was in the Herod family. Matter of fact, she was the oldest daughter of the Herod who beheaded James in Acts 12 and who incarcerated Peter and would have killed him if the angel of the Lord hadn't let him out of jail. She was his daughter. She was in the Jewish family, and so she knew something about the Jewish religion. And I think she knew a great deal about Christianity, although she wasn't a Christian. But Drusilla was married to a man by the name of Azes, king of Amesia, a little insignificant kingdom down beyond the Jordan River. And when Felix became governor, he met her. I don't know how, but the historian doesn't tell us how they met. But he met her, and he was really impressed with her beauty. As a matter of fact, he was infatuated with her, and he wanted her to be his wife. And so he sent a lawyer down there to talk to her. And this lawyer told her of all the advantages of being the wife of Felix rather than the wife of this little king down there in this insignificant kingdom. And says, more money, more power to you. Well, she being a Herod and filled with all the greed and all of the aspirations and desires of the Herod people, she said, I'm going to accept. And so she left her husband and married Felix. He was about 20 years old. She came up to Caesarea and was in the capital with him at this time. Well, the connection that we have with Felix and Paul goes way back to Acts 22. You see, Paul was preaching the gospel, and he was standing on a stairway preaching to a bunch of Jews, probably several hundred. And they listened to him preach. He told of his conversion, how he was born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. He told how the Lord appeared to him on the Damascus Road and how that he was told to rise and be baptized and wash away his sin. And he said, I did all this and I became a Christian. And he said, I started preaching to the Jews. But he says, they weren't receptive. So he says, the Lord spoke to me and says, go far unto the Gentile. Now this is in verse 22 of chapter 22. And he said, and Luke says that the Jews gave him audience to that word. What word? Gentiles. They didn't like it. They'd listened to him pretty well up to that point, just like people will listen to a preacher until he says something they don't like, and sometimes they walk off. Or they do something else, instigate a state of mutiny. But anyway, what happened was, when Paul mentioned the word Gentile, those Jews didn't like it. They threw dust in the air and it caused all kind of confusion. Well, we see in America today vigilantes who sort of want to break the law. And if things don't go to suit them, they make a big march on a city or something. We're seeing that recently. And so these Jews decided to let it be known they didn't like what the preacher said. So they threw dust in the air, and actually they were going to try to kill the preacher, and probably would have. They were very angry. You know, sometimes a preacher can mention something that people don't like. I told you the story about this old-time preacher. It didn't happen to me, but it happened to him. This fellow told him, said, preacher, I'd come to your meeting if you wouldn't mention baptism, but said, you preachers, every time you get up to preach, you mention baptism. Said, I'll come to hear you if you won't mention baptism. They didn't like that word. Just like they didn't like the word Gentile. because they were prejudiced against baptism. And these Jews were prejudiced against the Gentile. And so the preacher acquiesced and he said, okay, if you'll come, I won't mention baptism. And so every time he quoted a scripture such as Mark 16, he that believeth and doeth that thing which I'm not allowed to say shall be saved. Well, the man didn't like that. He came to hear him. He said, you cheated. He said, you said you wouldn't mention baptism. He says, I didn't mention baptism. He said, yeah, but the people knew what you were talking about. And they did. But it just shows you that some people don't like certain words. And so these Jews stirred up the people. And Lysias came in, and he was the chief of police, and he rescued Paul, put him in protective custody, and put him actually in jail to protect him, to keep the Jews from killing him. When he found out he was a Roman citizen, and he did find out that they were getting ready to scourge Paul, which was to tie him up and give him a whipping. And about the time they were tying him up and getting ready to whip him, Paul says, is it lawful for you to scourge a Roman uncondemned? And the man dropped his weapon and went in to see Lysias. He said, you better be careful what you do to that fellow. He said, why? He said, he's a Roman citizen. He is? Yeah. Well, you know, that put things in different light if you're a Roman citizen, because you then had to answer to Caesar. And so they didn't scourge him. Lysias became very nervous. And he said, I got to get rid of this man because 40 men have bound themselves with an oath that they'll neither eat nor drink till they've killed this man. And under armed guard, he sent him to Felix, the governor, up at Caesarea. Now we're getting the connection between Paul and Felix. And so they took him at night under armed guard, and they brought him to Caesarea and put him in jail there under Felix. And that's why he got to preach to Felix. So while Paul was in jail there, one day Felix called for him and said, I'd like to hear you preach. That's unusual. I think he was influenced by his wife Drusilla. I believe she's the one that told him, said, I'd like to hear that man preach. He's a Jew. He's a fellow Jew. And I think that's the reason Felix invited him, one of the reasons, invited him to preach. And so Paul was led in from his prison cell into the audience chamber. And there sat Drusilla, the beautiful woman, with the governor and probably some other dignitaries. And Paul was allowed to preach anything he wanted. He could preach anything he wanted. He could have played politics and maybe with Felix and tried to get out of jail, but that's not what he did. He did what God expected him to do. He preached the old Jerusalem gospel. He preached the same gospel that had been preached to Cornelius, to that charming woman Lydia, to the Ethiopian eunuch, to the apostle Paul, and to all of those people who had obeyed the gospel. He preaches the same gospel of this man, but his reaction is different. Instead of accepting, as they all did, he rejected it. And that's the way it is today. We have people in Boonville. You're not going to convert. They're not, until they change their attitude, you're not going to convert them. Then there's others that you can convert. You know what Paul said? You know what the Lord said to Paul when he was in Corinth, and possibly in Ephesus? He said, I have much people in this city. Well, you know, that always astounded me. What did the Lord mean by that? Did he mean they were already Christians? No, they weren't Christians. Well, how could he have much people? He meant there are people here with good and honest hearts who, if they hear the gospel, will accept it. That's all he meant. And we have out here in the world people who are still receptive to the gospel, and we have people who are not, and Felix is a case in point. Well, when Paul was brought in, instead of playing politics with Felix, he reasoned on three things: righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. You can't beat that as a sermon. Now, we don't have the whole sermon. Luke doesn't give it to us. He gives us an outline. But it's a good outline, because what he preached to Felix was the gospel, because Romans 1:16 says that the power, that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, there's no doubt that he preached unto him the gospel, which has facts, it has commands, and it has promises. And he says, Felix, you need to be baptized. You need to obey the gospel, just like Cornelius did and the Ethiopian eunuch and the others. You need to obey the gospel. You need to become a Christian to save your soul so you won't go to hell when you die. And he encouraged him to do that. So I have no doubt about what he preached. Then he said, after you obey the gospel, he says, Felix, permit me to tell you something. And it is that Christianity is made up basically of self-control. That was the second part of his sermon, because that's what he preached. He said, the essence of living the Christian life is the controlling of the body and bringing it under subjection. Paul said, I buffet my body and bring it under subjection, lest while I preached unto others, I myself become a reprobate. The essence of Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, is self-control. When God made you, he gave you certain drives. And you know what they are. I don't have to tell you. They're within your body. They are inclinations within your body. They are drives. You can't deny that you have them. We all have them. But what God did after he gave you that, he says, bring them under control. Really, that's what he did. Really, if you want to know the truth. He said, I gave you these drives, but you're not to use them in an unlawful way. He says, you are to control yourself. And he says, Felix, you need to control yourself after you become a Christian. I want to tell you that you need to control yourself. Exercise. That's the essence of Christianity. Now he says, I want to tell you what's going to happen to you if you don't do what I've said. There's a judgment day coming. And all people are going to appear before God on judgment day. No one's going to escape it. You're not going to escape it, Felix. You're going to be there. And God's going to judge you, and if you haven't obeyed the gospel, and if you haven't lived the Christian life, you're going to lose your soul eternally. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. All nations shall be gathered before them. He'll separate them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats, and he'll put the goats on one side and the sheep on the other. And the sheep, he'll say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But to the goats, depart from ye into everlasting punishment. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, Felix, if you don't obey the gospel, you're going to have to meet the Lord in judgment. When he heard the sermon, he trembled. He said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. I don't know how sincere Felix was, but it says he called for him even more oftener. This wasn't the only time Paul preached to Felix. According to Luke, he had several opportunities later on, but Felix was hoping that money might be given to him. Now, I don't know where he got the idea that Paul had money. Someone says, well, I'll tell you where he got it. Paul told him that he'd raised these alms for the poor saints at Jerusalem because he told him about it. And he thought, well, if that fella can raise money like that, he's got some money hid somewhere, and I'm going to keep calling him in, and he might give me some money. But he got the idea that Paul had some money somewhere, stashed away. He called for him the more oftener, hoping that money might be given to him. But Paul never did give him any money. I doubt if Paul had money. But Felix sort of thought that he did, according to Luke. But my point is, ladies and gentlemen, is that he rejected the gospel. He said, when I have a convenient season, now I'll call for you. His convenient season never did come. Now let me drop into history for just a moment before I close. And I want to tell you what happened to Felix. According to historians, he died. Well, first he was deposed as governor. He did something that the Caesar didn't like. And he took him out, and Festus came in. Do you notice in reading Acts that Luke immediately says that Felix was gone and Festus came in and took his place? Did you notice that over in Acts 24? Now, they don't tell why, because they don't go into history. But I want to tell you, historians tell why. Felix was kicked out of the governorship. And according to historians, something happened to him physically, and he died at a very early age. Now, this is a sad part of my sermon, because he had opportunity after opportunity to obey the gospel, and he thought he had a lease on life, and he thought he's going to live forever, but he died in his 20s. Unprepared to meet God. But you can't say he didn't have opportunity. Someone said, but he was living for the day, preacher. He was looking out for that time. All he was looking out for the joys and the inclinations of the flesh. That's right, but that's wrong. He rejected the gospel. And he's been dead for years and years. He died at a very early age. When you die in your 20s, that's a dying early, my friend. And that's what happened to Felix the governor. But at the same time, as we reminisce and as we look back, he had opportunity after opportunity to become a Christian. But he turned it down. Now, in summary, as I bring my lesson to a close, I want to tell you something. I showed you all of these examples of people who did accept the gospel. And sometimes we get the idea that everybody Paul preached to obeyed. You're wrong about that. You also have non-conversions, and these people who are going to meet God in judgment unprepared to meet. They're going to be like Felix. Someone says, but maybe they have reasons. Well, no, they don't have. They might have an excuse. They don't have a reason for not obeying the gospel. You might have an excuse that you use. But I want to tell you, my friends, the gospel is for all. For the rich, the poor, the wise, the unwise. It's for everybody. And we hope, if you're here today and you're under the subject of the gospel of the Lord, that you not be like Felix. You be like these other people I mentioned. You say, yes, I'm going to accept. I'm going to obey the gospel. I'm going to be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. I'm going to rise to walk in the newness of life. And I'm going to practice that self-control that the Holy Spirit reveals in the Bible, which is the essence of New Testament Christianity. If you're here today and subject, we hope you'll come. Shall we stand as we sing?